Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Access to technology has improved dramatically over the years for the visually impaired, but that only happens through the hard work and advocacy of many people and organizations.
This week, we'll be talking with Sharon Rush, the Executive Director of Nobility, about how that organization promotes the goals of achieving accessible technology, including their upcoming annual three-day training workshop called Access U, which we will talk about towards the end of the program. Before we get into this topic, however, we have an announcement to make. You may or may not remember that in show 1402, we talked about Word Gathering, an online journal of disability-related prose and poetry. Well, in their recently released spring issue, they included an interview of us as well as a side piece about how important music has been in Pete's life. And you can get to that at www.wordgathering.com.
Or through the links in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net, where we have all of our contact information and other resources that you'll hear about in the show.
Getting back to this week's show, this week's tip is keep sending us feedback because we actually listen and respond. And a really good example of that was show 1409, which was just a few weeks ago, in which we talked about Image for Windows, an accessible program for backing up your computer. And this generated many questions and discussion from our listeners asking for a demonstration of how to restore such a backup eyes-free. Well, we couldn't create a whole show on that topic this fast, but we did put an answer with links to more details in the show notes for that show, and also sent an announcement to our Google group and on Facebook and on Twitter. And if you want to be able to join any or all of them to get weekly show announcements and occasional other valuable information, we'd love to have you join.
And if you want to join our listener email forum, you need only send an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe at googlegroups.com. And on that listener forum, not only will you get weekly announcements of upcoming shows, but you can also connect with other listeners to talk about some of these issues and interact with them.
And to find us on Facebook, we're Eyes on Success. And on Twitter, we're @_EyesOnSuccess. So we're pretty easy to find. Let's start by meeting Sharon Rush and learning how and why Nobility got started.
My name is Sharon Rush, and I'm the executive director of a small nonprofit based in Austin, Texas. It's called Nobility, and we spell it with a K.
So that's K-N-O-W-B-I-L-I-T-Y?
That's it, yes.
That's just a great name.
Thanks. The idea was that we wanted to put together the idea that knowledge doesn't have a thing in the world to do with various sensory abilities, and that knowledge itself is really important to people regardless of ability. So, Nobility.
How did you get into the accessibility field in the first place?
My degree is in conservation biology, and I got a job in the mid-90s working for Easter Seals. They hired people with developmental disabilities to do some landscaping work, and they needed some help figuring out how to create contracts and bid on it. And so with my conservation biology degree, I got a job there. And while I was doing that temporary position, it occurred to me that while it was certainly a lovely thing to provide jobs for people doing that kind of manual labor, it was also really uncomfortable in the hot Texas sun, and that I started thinking about ways to create employment for people with disabilities using technology, because my very first degree was an associate's degree in computer science that I got longer ago than I want to tell you. So I started kind of brainstorming about ways to provide employment for people with disabilities using technology, and we kept running into these barriers of the use of technology by people with disabilities because of the inaccessibility of the interfaces. So while I was at Easter Seals, we started an annual web design contest that we called the Accessibility Internet Rally. And I don't know if you recall, but in the mid-90s, the little sleepy college town of Austin, Texas was in the process of being transformed into a tech hub. And so my idea was, well, let's try to get some of these smart technology people engaged in this issue. And one of the entrepreneurs, his name was Steve Gingrich, and he said, you know, Sharon, if you want the tech sector to pay attention, you've got to do something competitive. So we started this web design competition, and the challenge was not who can build the biggest or the fastest, but who can build the most accessible website. And we called it the Accessibility Internet Rally, or AIR Austin. And from that, we started developing, you know, a judging matrix and the training resources to help them understand what did it mean to make a website accessible. And out of that, these programs just kind of came organically. And pretty soon, we had so many initiatives going on that Easter Seals kind of said, you know, web accessibility is not our central focus. Why don't you go play over there? And so I took a few of those entrepreneurs and we had a board of directors, and pretty soon we had our own nonprofit. Steve Gingrich was the founding chair, and we recruited a few other technology entrepreneurs, and we decided that we would start a nonprofit organization whose entire mission was the idea of making technology accessible to everyone, including people with disabilities. So we founded Nobility with the mission of ensuring technology access for all.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Nobility.
I looked at your website earlier, and it looks like there are a fair number of initiatives under the umbrella of accessibility and what you do. Can you give us a summary of some of the interesting things that you're involved in?
Well, sure. We started with the Accessibility Internet Rally, which was the Accessible Web Design Contest. And that event itself had a number of components. First, we have to train the developers about what is accessibility. What does it mean? How do they do it? Accessibility techniques. Then you also have to take the sites that they create and judge them somehow, give them, you know, a scoring rubric and come up with a score for them. So there was a training component, and then there was also this evaluation component. Those two things have each grown to kind of be their own programs, so that we have a training program where we deliver training all over the country, and here in Austin, once a year, we call it Access U, and it's 3 days of accessibility training that are really geared to deliver very practical, applicable skills so that people can leave, regardless of their role in an organization, whether they're a project manager, a designer, a developer, even a policy maker or administrator, that they can leave with real skills that will help them meet accessibility mandates and achieve accessibility goals.
We're going to talk about that at much greater length in the final segment of this program.
Another aspect was the judging form. And Jim Thatcher, who worked for IBM for many years, he retired here in Austin. John Slayton, who was a professor at the University of Texas and was a member of the committee that wrote the original web content accessibility guidelines at the W3C, and Jim Allen, who is the statewide coordinator of accessible media for the Texas School for the Blind. Those three fellas had put together a judging form that eventually we came to use to help companies understand their own websites and whether they were meeting accessibility guidelines or not. So we also launched these fee-for-service offerings so that our expertise in web accessibility could be put to work for different companies who needed to understand if they were even close to meeting mandates. At first, most of those were government agencies, state or federal or even municipal government agencies who felt like they had to meet mandates. But, you know, as the courts have ruled on this, it's very much more common now that retailers and private businesses feeling like they're going to have to meet accessibility mandates too, because the Justice Department has pretty much let us know that they intend to make accessible technology part of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA. So we're looking for that to happen sometime soon. And so Knowbility has been able to offer the expertise that we've gathered over the last 14, 15 years of doing this to businesses and government agencies, so that we're one of those nonprofits who actually earns part of our, you know, we're not just grant driven. A lot of our revenue is earned income.
And I think I saw on your website that you assemble blind users to test websites for accessibility, and then you offer that as a service to people who want to know if their sites are accessible?
Well, you know, Nancy, I think usability as an interest, like, so people put websites together and then they want to know, is it actually user-friendly? Can people accomplish the task? Do they understand what's going on? And so I think over the past probably 6 or 8 years, the user experience has become really of interest to people, because you find that when you care about the user experience, you have a better return on your investment. People feel more at home there. It's intuitive how they interact. They buy things more readily. So the field of usability has become pretty well accepted in most online businesses. So there's been a challenge as accessibility comes up for consideration. People think, well, how do we include people with disabilities in our user base? How do we test and measure the user experience of somebody with a disability who maybe is using some kind of assistive technology in order to browse? You know, there are different kinds of assistive technologies. People might use text to speech engines called screen readers. They might use other kinds of assistive technologies that map to the keyboard. They might use voice input. There are all kinds of different devices. So if I wanted to do usability testing, do I have to buy all of these assistive devices? And how do I know how to use them with my own equipment? And so what we've done is we've put together a database of users with different kinds of disabilities who may or may not use assistive technologies. And people who do usability testing can actually tap into that database remotely. If you go to knowbility.org, you can find the Access Works portal, and you can sign on there and do usability testing and say, well, I want to include some blind users, some maybe some deaf users. I want to include some users who maybe use alternative input devices, whatever your kind of testing you want to do. And then you have real data from real people.
Well, I'm glad to see people are making that distinction these days, because there's a lot of talk about accessibility. But as you say, just because something is quote unquote accessible doesn't mean it's easily usable and efficient for visually impaired or other folks to use.
Isn't that the truth? It really is.
Well, and this show focuses on products and services for people with visual impairments, but it's really nice that you've assembled people with all sorts of different disabilities so that a prospective website can be tested for all sorts of different people to be able to access and use it.
Yeah, thanks. We think so too. Frankly, though, the web is a very visual medium. And I think it's not entirely surprising that the blind community gets the most attention when it comes to disability. But now that we're seeing more things, podcasts and audiovisual content, you see videos on YouTube all the time or embedded in people's websites. And if they don't have the sound information, if you're, you know, if you're deaf or you have a situation where you can't have the sound going, it's awfully nice to have those captions.
Now, you were talking about website designers and developers being able to get in touch with you for whatever help they would need, but anybody with a disability who might want to be a tester, would they do the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. if someone has a disability and wants to sign up to be a tester, that's paid work, by the way. Nobody works full time doing this kind of testing. But what happens is your name is in a database. And when people do these usability tests, they'll put up a notice on the database, you'll get an email, and usually the first 10 or 20 people who respond get to run the test. And then it's paid by the hour. Usually each test takes a couple of hours, and you're paid when you're called on to do the test. So it's just occasional revenue, but it's always nice to have a little extra pocket money. Anyone with a disability who wants to sign up as a tester can go to the Nobility website at nobility.org and then look for the AccessWorks portal and just follow the menu breadcrumbs and it'll take you right to the form where you sign up and join the database.
Great.
So it sounds like your organization can really provide sort of soup to nuts assistance with developers and people creating sites in terms of assessing, are these things accessible and usable, and then also giving them the technical feedback and perhaps help to redesign those websites and make them more functional?
Yeah, we certainly try to. We try to be a real go-to place for giving people practical resources that they can use and that will give them useful results so that people with disabilities, just like any other user, can get the same information, perform the same functions. I thought it was really interesting here recently, the Gartner Research Group just came out with a paper here recently that said, boy, the investment in accessible technology is so much worth it. And they identified that this is a global market of $8 billion of people with disabilities shopping online around the world.
So wow. It's worth somebody's time to pay attention to these issues.
I would think so. If you're looking for markets, that would be one that you wouldn't want to ignore.
The other thing I think is interesting is what I often see is if a site or a service is made more accessible and usable, it's often easier and more functional for sighted people and people without any impairments to use.
Well, that's a good point, Peter, because one of the things they found is that when the mobile devices really started being more widely used for browsing the internet, there was just an immediate discovery that those sites that had been designed with accessibility in mind were much more usable by the mobile phones, the tablets, the other alternative devices. So right there, there was a dividend that paid off entirely unexpectedly. You know, it wasn't necessarily that they were designing for the mobile market, but by paying attention to accessibility, you created an interface that was more flexible and that was more easily rendered on different kinds of devices. So yeah, the payoff for the mainstream market was pretty terrific.
We've interviewed other people who do evaluations of websites for accessibility, and I was just wondering, do you coordinate with other groups and use similar tools, or does each group have to develop their own?
We are a nonprofit, mission-driven organization. So we're not as competitive as maybe some of the people who do this as a business only. We tend to be very cooperative. We share our methods as widely as possible. We try to work very closely with the Web Accessibility Initiative, or WAI, at the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium. And in fact, I serve on the Education and Outreach Working Group. These days, I'm co-chair of that group. And so spreading the word and the methodologies that we've developed about web accessibility is part of kind of how we were created. That was our mission. So because of that fact, we tend to be pretty much technology agnostic. I'm sure that we do share a lot of the methodologies from some of the commercial providers of this service. I mean, web accessibility isn't rocket science. It's not very complicated. But since now that we have all these different kinds of devices that are browsing the web and different kinds of coding techniques, it has become a little bit more complex. But if you just hone in on the user experience, I think you'll find that most of us do use a very similar kind of methodology and approach that's centered on the user and the user experience.
So you talked about a lot of collaborations. If people do want to get in touch with you to have their websites assessed by you or to help them create more accessible and usable websites or other services, how would they do that?
Our business contact information is on the website. There's a form you can fill out and tell us what you're looking for, and we'll call you and really get a good idea of what it is that you might need.
Can you give us the URL for your website?
It's www.knowbility, and we're a .org since we're a nonprofit organization. So it's nobility.org.
And do you have a phone number?
It's 512-305-0310.
Now for this week's final item, how you can learn specifics about accessibility that are related to your particular function in creating web content. You've been talking about how Nobility, one of your missions is to teach people all the right ways to create accessible web content, and you've got your upcoming Access You session. Can you give an overview of what goes on at Access U?
Access U is 3 days of intense and practical accessibility training that's offered every May at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas. And we do it in May because that's the time when St. Edward's University is between semesters, and that's when they let us have the classrooms, which we've been so grateful for. We've been doing this since 2005, and they have been so generous with their space there. We have as many sometimes as 10 classes going at one time. And we teach people whatever it is that's very specific to their job role that is related to accessibility. And I think it's really an important thing to remember that accessibility isn't just one person's job. Whatever your responsibility is in communicating for your company, whether you just put content on the web, whether you design or program, if you're a project manager, if you're in the marketing department, everybody has a role in communicating, and it's important that everyone who has a role like that understands accessibility. The way that accessibility works best is when it's an integrated process and not something that's stuck on at the very end or given to one person, like, okay, you're the accessibility person and nobody else has to think about it. That's not going to work. What you have to do is make sure that everyone has an awareness of what accessibility is and the basics of what it means. And then you get your specific skills that are specific to your job. And that's what we try to do at Access U. We've got usability tracks, management tracks, design tracks, programming tracks, specific to different technologies. Like, we have one for ASP.NET, we have things for PHP, WordPress, you know, all of the different kinds of programming languages. And then you also have the big picture view from the point of view of someone who has to make policy or has to develop procurement procedures, so that I'm going to buy some third-party software. How do I test and how do I know if it's accessible? If I put in my request for proposals out there that I'm only going to buy accounting software if it meets accessibility requirements, how am I going to know that the things that I'm looking at actually meet those requirements or not, unless I have some basic testing skills? So we try to make sure that we teach people skills that are very specific to their role within the company and whatever their job expectations might be.
Now, there's a great big link to that on the Nobility homepage, but can you tell our listeners the dates this year? If, in case they want to go, they can plan ahead.
Access U is going to be held Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, from May 12th through the 14th.
This year you held a mini version of Access U at CSUN in San Diego?
Yes, we did, and that was great fun. Actually, it was the second time that we have offered Access U at CSUN. This year we really tried to make it as streamlined as possible, so there were only three of us. It was myself, Derek Featherstone, and Elle Waters from Simply Accessible. And the three of us tried to kind of personify the three tracks. I did the usability and advocacy track. Elle did the implementation and management track. And then Derek did the responsive design track. He did the real geeky programmer design track. We tried to emulate in one day with a much smaller group the same kind of feeling that we will provide people at Access U here in a month or so.
We have listeners from all over the world, and I know the ADA requirements are only implemented in this country, but do you welcome people from other countries at Access U?
Oh, yeah. We've had people there from Italy, from Germany, from France, Australia. Anyway, yes, we have. And a couple of years ago, we had a couple of people from Manchester, England, and we asked them, oh, are you the accessibility experts at your company? And they said, no, our job is search engine optimization. And we found that doing accessibility is the surest way to increase our search engine results. So yeah, we welcome people from all over.
Besides the actual sessions, what else goes on at Access U?
One of the things that we really try to provide too is unique cultural experiences. So in the evenings, we'll have like an audio described captioned movie, and you have dinner and drinks while you're watching this movie. Or one year we had an event we called Sight, Sound, Soul, where we had a jazz pianist. And then in the same time that he was playing, we had a painter who was painting the music for people who didn't hear it. And all of this was being described with ASL and CART services. So it was very multidimensional and multisensory. Last year, we had a dance performance by a student group from the University of Texas, where some of the dancers were in wheelchairs, some had various disabilities, and dancing with able-bodied professional dancers as well. So in addition to the hard work that you do during the day, we also try to do some cultural events that will open your mind a little bit as well.
That's always nice.
So it's always really, really fun.
And as usual, if you missed any of the contact information or links we've given in the show, find our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net with all of that information. And if this show motivates you to go to Access U, let Sharon know where you heard about it.
That's it for show number 1414. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about alpine skiing at the Paralympics. You may recall that a little over 2 years ago, we did a show featuring a 15-year-old girl from New Jersey who happened to ski at 55 miles an hour and couldn't see anything in the bright sun. One of her goals was to represent her country at this year's Paralympics. Well, we'll be talking with Stacy Manella, who's now a high school senior, and her coach and guide, Kim Sievers, who have just come home from Sochi, about their experience at the Paralympics. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.